Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The Alaska legislative session could be coming to an end soon. House Speaker Bryce Edgeman, a Dillingham Democrat, tells KTOO his goal is for lawmakers to
I'm doing everything I can to make that a matter of days.
To draw from Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to pay for state government. Both Edgeman and Eagle River Republican Senator Anna McKinnon say the session's end has been delayed by the complexity of the bills lawmakers are working on. McKinnon points to a rewrite of the state's alcohol regulations and workers' compensation laws among bills that could still advance.
Right now I'm optimistic. It's like a roller coaster here, though. Today you're all going the same direction, and then you find, you know, an amendment somewhere that might throw a brick in the road. But we're trying to make sure that those bricks are talked about instead of fought about.
One area of difference that could be an issue is Medicaid spending. How much to spend on the program has been controversial throughout this session. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Governor Bill Walker's administration asked for $92 million to cover Medicaid costs that weren't budgeted for this year. The legislature funded $45 million of that earlier this session, but they haven't budgeted for the rest, and payments for Medicaid claims will stop in mid-May if the legislature doesn't act. Shonda O'Brien is the Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Health and Social Services.
Payments will have to be pushed into the next fiscal year, which then creates an even greater shortfall for us in the next fiscal year.
And the Senate has already proposed cutting $70 million from next year's Medicaid budget. O'Brien says if the legislature doesn't budget the supplemental money, it could cause funding problems for healthcare providers, ranging from smaller hospitals to providers in areas like opioid addiction treatment.
Some of those providers might have to close their doors and go out of business.
Senator Anna McKinnon says the department must take steps to reduce costs.
The department needs to figure out that we have a budget crisis going on, and they need to get their house in order.
But department officials note the costs are driven by mandates the legislature has given them. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Today's the City of Fairbanks set deadline for removal of debris from the demolition of the Masonic Temple in downtown Fairbanks. The historic structure partially collapsed last month under heavy snow load, and the rest was torn down. Owner Harold Gretzma says he can't pay the $80,000 bill to dispose of the rubble and has asked the city for more time. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Gretzma says he's been trying to work out an arrangement to remove what's left of the Masonic Temple ever since he was informed by his insurance company a couple of weeks ago that it won't help him pay for getting rid of the rubble.
They denied everything. There's zero claims to be had. Even the contents, they didn't cover contents or anything.
Gretzma says he's paid a quarter of the $12,000 demolition fee he owes a company called in by the city after the structure's roof partially collapsed on March 17th due to a heavy snow load. He's also been unable to convince the Fairbanks North Star Borough to waive a $40,000 tipping fee required to dump the debris, nor the $15,000 to $20,000 he'll have to pay for special handling because of asbestos that's been found in it. So he asked city officials for another 30 days to try to work out some kind of deal.
We're just looking for support, you know, just for the local community. I mean, you know, we want this taken care of as soon as possible, too. It's just that the funds are not there.
Mayor Jim Matherly says he sympathizes with Gretzma's predicament, but the mayor says he's got to deal with an eyesore and potential liability problem in the middle of an historic downtown area.
I'd love to see it gone sooner rather than later. I understand the owner has issues with his insurance, but it is a privately owned building.
Matherly says Gretzma may have had more options if he'd been able to transfer the temple to a nonprofit organization or perhaps formed one to preserve the 112-year-old building. He says those organizations usually have more options available than a privately held company.
If you have a nonprofit that owns a structure that's historic, then you have some ways to, you know, raise money to keep it solid, to do repairs, to do some updating.
Gretzma is a private businessman who is operating a restaurant, Big Daddy's Barbecue, located next door to the Masonic Temple when he bought the historic structure in 2008 for $450,000.
When I first bought the building, no, I didn't want the building. We needed the parking for Big Daddy. So they kind of threw in the building. If we wanted the parking lot, we had to buy the building.
He says he thought the temple might be usable as a sort of annex to the restaurant, but after some initial work on the structure, he decided the cost to renovate it wasn't worth it.
It's just got to be so much money. It's like, I couldn't afford it.
Gretzema says he used the temple for storage and tried to sell it for $250,000, a little more than half of what he paid for it. He sold the restaurant in 2015 in preparation of retiring, but he was unable to find a buyer for the temple. And now he's put his retirement plans on hold while he tries to figure out how to get rid of its remains. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly will give the school district at least $48 million for the coming year. The number in a resolution approved at a meeting Thursday night is less than the $50 million the district wants, but more than a $41 million minimum suggested by Mayor Carl Castle. Assemblymember Matt Cooper sponsored the substitute resolution. He says reflects sentiment of the Finance Committee.
I felt that we ought to have a number that at least more accurately reflects where we're going with this.
Cooper's resolution initially called for funding the district's entire $50 million request, but it was shaved back to $48 million under an amendment by Assemblymember Van Lawrence. Lawrence says that gives the Assembly some wiggle room as it formulates the borough-wide operating budget while still complying with the law.
The resolution before us is a state law requirement that we have to pass it. That we have to state what our minimum amount is, within 30 days after they make the request or make their initial budget.
Lawrence and other assembly members emphasize the final allocation usually exceeds the minimum.
In the 6 years I've been on the assembly, that minimum amount has never carried any weight.
The district alerted staff last week about the potential of being short-funded by the assembly, a notice that generated a volume of emails to members. Here's Assemblymember Christopher Quist.
You should look at our inbox. It blew up, and there are several dozen people that are concerned, that would be rightly concerned if this was a real issue or like an actual possibility.
School Board Treasurer Thomas Bartel says there was no intent to mislead.
The fact that the minimum fund of $41 million is out there is that it's up for discussion, it's up for consideration, it's the bottom floor, if you will. And so the fact that that's out there, I think we can agree that that could be a possibility.
Bartel says he and fellow school board members hope to continue to work with the assembly as it moves toward finalizing the borough budget May 10th. Much of the debate over school funding is focused on money the district has in reserve accounts and how much of it should be spent next year. I'm Dan Bross.